excited to be here with you this morning. We want to talk about a theme called being bold. And I want you to know that this morning we are going to ask you to step outside of your comfort zone. We are going to ask you to be bold in multiple ways. And so from the very beginning of this message, I am going to ask you to be obedient to whatever God starts to lay on your heart from the very beginning of this message to the very end of this service time. We want to talk just a little bit about some of the ways that we can be bold. When we were thinking about this message, I thought, well, there's certain ways that you can be bold, like in your fashion choices. And I started to look for some bold fashion choices, and I found this picture. And I really think Pastor Dwayne would rock a suit like this. Yeah. Pastor? Do I have any sewers in the congregation? Because if you notice, this is a simplicity sewing pattern. You too could make a suit just like this for Pastor Dwayne for Christmas. And I am waiting to see what comes out of Orlando Center Point. You also can have a bold choice in the entertainment that you choose. When I started thinking about some of the extreme sports, I was looking online and I found this one that I had never even heard of before called wingsuit flying. Has anybody ever heard or seen wingsuit flying? Raise your hand real quick. Some of the kids are like, oh yeah, I've seen it. Totally seen it. Basically what you do is you find a really high mountain and you put on this flying squirrel suit and you run and you jump off and you hope that the wind catches your wings as you go down. And when I found it, it came from the Smithsonian, and it said, I had to write it down and read it to you. It said, this sport is famous for two things, a sense of thrill that's hard to get from any other sport, and also a terrifyingly high death rate. So if you are looking for a bold entertainment choice, wingsuit flying might be your sport of choice.
Or what about bold food choices? Have you ever been in a place where you're like, whoa, that is out of my comfort zone. I've been in lots of those places as missionaries, but I'm going to take it easy on you today. And I'm just going to talk about barbecue since I'm from Kansas City. I don't know why in certain places of the U.S. there are these super sweet or vinegar-based barbecue sauces. Come on, you got to have a bold flavor. Is anybody with me on the barbecue? Thank you. Amen. Amen, right? Yeah, I made barbecue spiritual. Yeah, that's how I do it. The other thing also is just bold lifestyle choices. Like, let's say there was a moment that you had to instead of using the toilet paper because there was none, you had to use the toilet paper roll. I've known someone who's done that necessarily, but you know, I mean, maybe that has happened to somebody in the past. I need to tell you that being bold is not just something that we kind of talk about as far as food and fashion and other places. Do you know that this is a concept that shows up time and time again in the Bible? I want to read you a text. This is from 1 Timothy, and it says, "For the Spirit that God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." He goes on to say, this is Paul actually writing, "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner." Now, he's writing this from prison. Talk about bold. "Rather, join with me in suffering." Oh, we don't like that part. "Join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." The Spirit of God does not give us a spirit of timidity, but of boldness, power, love, and self-discipline.
So we want to talk a little bit about the God that gives us this spirit of boldness. And it's not something that he's just asking of Paul in the New Testament. It's something that we can see as God's character all the way through the pages of the Bible. You can see it in his servants of Moses and Esther and Abraham. I mean, let's think about what God asked Moses to do, okay? When he came to Moses, he said, "Moses, I want you to tear down a centuries-old system of slavery for an entire nation." He said, "I'm going to just send you to do that." That's a pretty bold thing that God is asking Moses to be a part of. But he didn't leave Esther out of the call either, because if you remember Esther's story, he said, "I want you as a young woman to approach a king and ask for the liberation of an entire people group." She was putting her own life on the line to approach that king. He asked her to have a spirit of boldness. We can see in Abraham's call in Genesis chapter 12, that God, when he called him from the very first time that we see God talking to Abraham, he says, go to the place that I will show you. And Abraham picks up his stuff and he goes to the place where I will show you. He doesn't know where he's going to go. He doesn't have all of the plans in place. He doesn't even have a destination. He just is going to go where God shows him to go. Who would do something like that? That is crazy. The only way that we do something like that and engage in something like that is if we believe that the God that has called us to do something that bold is the one that also is empowering us to do that task.
When we started as rookie missionaries, it's like 16 years ago. That's crazy to think. But we got to Guatemala, which was our first place of service. Now we're currently in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. But in Guatemala, they told us the day after we arrived, they said, you're going to be in charge of a ministry that is supposed to train missionaries from our countries. Now, we serve 32 different countries, although we live in the Dominican Republic. And so missionaries are no longer just from the United States or Canada going overseas. Now, we need more of those. Maybe someone here is sensing that call, a child or a teen perhaps, is sensing a call to be a missionary, just like us when we accepted that call. But you know what? There are people all around the world. And when we started, this was cutting edge, man. I mean, this was new. We were not seeing this. But as we've, you know, gone through this process, in the last 15 years, we've seen a big change in our denomination, in our Church of the Nazarene. You see, we are in 162 different countries. But do you know that that includes 59 different world areas that we have missionaries sent from? Okay, do you understand that? So it's like we don't just have missionaries from the U.S., but from 59 different countries or world areas. That's pretty cool. Missionaries from everywhere to everywhere. There was another thing like about eight years ago probably that we found out, well, you know what? We need to get back to the city. Now, to us, that was pretty new. We had never thought of ourselves as like city missionaries. Let's reach the city. Let's reach these urban places, right? We never really conceived of that. And we thought it was pretty new. But now that's not cutting edge. Now everyone's talking about city ministry, going to where the people are, impacting the cities. Do you know that 200,000 people move to a city around the world, some type of city, every day? 200,000 every day. It's been said that the city is the fastest growing mission field in the world today. We found out in our region, in those 32 different countries, that 79% of all of our region lives in a big city. 79%. And so we just naturally thought that's where our Christians are as well. That's where our Nazarenes are as well. But as we did the analysis, we found out only 30% of all of our churches and all of our Nazarenes are in those same big cities. Let me put it a different way for you. Where we have the most people living, we have the least Christian presence in many of these countries. Some might see the city filled with crime and poverty and traffic and a lot of these barriers, terrible things. But we see the city filled with opportunity.
The opportunities that the city present are what gives us the ability to say that God is asking us to be engaged in a bold mission. Because typically, even though we look at the city and it's got all of these problems, what we can say are problems, when we start seeing them as opportunities, we can see that God has given us a place of engagement because he has a plan of redemption for the city. If you look all the way in the very last book of the Bible, you can read in Revelation that God's kingdom is manifest in the holy city. God is doing something in our cities, and I truly believe that God is allowing us to practice city here on earth so that we can be well prepared for what our eternity is going to look like. The Bible gives us a picture of every tribe and every nation and every language living together in the same place, praising the holy God. We know that one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We believe that. We espouse that. And in these days, church, we have an opportunity to engage with God in his city mission Because what we have the opportunity to do is help people to understand that they have a decision that they can make and say, you are my Lord and Savior. Because the one day will come if they do not make that decision here on this earth when their knee will be forced to bow to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And say, you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our mission, should we choose to accept it, is to believe that God wants to redeem our cities. To believe that he has placed his church in the city so that we can be a part of that plan of redemption.
So that has to do with Orlando, and that has to do with all of the cities we're trying to reach as well. And to give you a little image of that, we want to share the story of somebody named Marlene. Now, Marlene, you can see a picture of her. She, just about a year ago, we deployed her to a place called Querétaro in Mexico. It's about 2 hours outside of Mexico City. Querétaro actually has 2 million people, but it only has one Church of the Nazarene. In fact, as far as evangelical Christian presence, it's about 3 or 4%. That's a lot of people that don't know the Lord. And so Marlene had answered the call, and you know, we kind of got to know her. She's pretty petite. She's got long brown hair that falls down her back. She is just outgoing, hilarious. She has a quick wit. Always as she came to our training, whenever we would hear laughter, we knew that it was because she was right there. And she answered the call. She left her place in Guadalajara, Mexico, to be trained in Santo Domingo, where we are, in our home, but also to be sent to this huge city, Querétaro, Mexico. Could God have something in store for her? She was wondering that, and she was especially trying to figure out, could God use me, even as, guess this, guess what? A fashion designer. If you thought, there's no place for me in missions, she is a fashion designer answering the call to missions. And she said, maybe God could use me in a university setting, because I see that that's one of the most secular places, the places that the church does not focus on in the city at all.
So Marlene was accepted to be a Nazarene missionary, and she came to Santo Domingo, where we live, and we trained her in our home, and she was a part of a group of training, and she was one of 8 women that were there during that time. And I remember a conversation that I had with her. She had been there maybe like 3 or 4 days. And you can see in this picture that's up here on the screen, there's a big room that we do our training in. And right behind that room is our kitchen. And so when they break for lunch, they come into our kitchen and they use our microwave or our stove or whatever they need. And she was moving around the kitchen and she was trying to find some things. And I was there trying to get my lunch ready. And I just said, hey, Marlene, how are you doing? You know, you've been here for about 3 days. You're being trained in all this city mission and what it means to plant a church. And how are you feeling? And she said, you know, I'm kind of anxious. She said, actually, I'm more than anxious. I'm kind of afraid. And I said, well, tell me a little bit. Why are you afraid? She said, you know, I knew probably about 2 or 3 years ago that God wanted me to be a missionary. She said, I'm not afraid to say yes to being a missionary, but as it's come down to the place where I'm actually learning what it means to be a missionary in the city, I'm starting to feel kind of anxious and nervous about it. She said, and then I've been in contact with my parents, and they're kind of anxious and nervous about it. That I'm going to go to this new city. They don't know where I'm gonna live. They don't know what I'm gonna do. They don't know the streets that I'm gonna walk on. They don't know how safe it is. And they're just very anxious. And so when they're anxious, it makes me anxious. And I just kind of feel anxious. And I said, I can understand that anxiety. It's all very real. And I said, Marlene, I do believe that God has called you to be a Nazarene missionary. I believe that he's placed something in you that allows you to connect with people of the city. And I'm going to pray that God continues to use this training time to confirm that in your life too.
So during that training, we touch on so many different things, right? Creative ways to talk to people and initiate conversations. We talk about safety and security in the city, which is different from maybe some other rural places. And we talk about, really actually the first day, the first thing that I talked to them about after kind of giving them the welcome and saying, let's get to know each other and kind of some teamwork dynamics that we have. I say, why do we need more churches in the city? I mean, it seems pretty obvious, right? They are about to start from scratch, like cell groups that will develop into churches. Like, they probably need to know this. They signed up for this. And so you think, well, they've thought this through, right? Well, almost all of them can say, oh, I know exactly why we need churches in the city. We need to spread the gospel. We need people to know Christ. And I say, okay, we're not the only ones in our denomination as a Church of the Nazarene that are doing great things. I mean, praise the Lord, we partner with so many other organizations and other churches and stuff. But you're going to happen to be planting a Church of the Nazarene. So why do we need more Churches of the Nazarene in the city? Oh boy, then there's a big pause. Well, I don't know. You know, and then it starts to come out. People start to talk about maybe what we believe. I don't know if you know, but one of the core beliefs that we have in the Church of the Nazarene is that we can be holy as God is holy. What? Even just saying that, some of you are like, what? You know, that's crazy. But that's biblical. He wants us not to live in a life of sin. He doesn't want to just forgive us and just we stay kind of doing the same stuff all the time. He wants to purify us, cleanse us, and he wants to help us to live new lives. And so as we start to talk about what we believe, they say, well, that makes a huge difference. That makes a huge difference, not just in my life, but in the city. But Marlon had to admit, and there were a few with her, that said, you know what? I'm realizing that I've heard about this before, but I don't know that I've ever really understood it or much less experienced what you're talking about.
So we continued to go through a few days of training with Marlene, and she was learning about all this stuff. And there came a day when we were teaching them about our articles of faith. Because part of church planting and part of Nazarene church planting is making sure they understand what Nazarenes believe. And they're able to teach that. And we have found that the best way for them to teach it is for them to be the student first. And Scott had this whole workshop that was ready, and they were moving through some of these articles of faith, 16 things that we believe. And as they got to the article of sanctification, the doctrine of holiness, again, it started to come up. And one of our missionaries raised her hand, and she said, you know, I have a couple questions about this doctrine. And she said, I believe in it, but here's some of the questions that I've heard about it. Is it really possible to live without sin in our life? Because I hear people say all the time, well, we sin every day. And I kind of think that I agree with that. And like, I don't know. So they started talking about it. And Scott quickly felt that the Holy Spirit was at work in that place because they were asking all of these questions that somebody that had never heard about sanctification would be asking them. And so they were asking the questions. And as they started to have more clarity and understanding, Marlene started to have an experience with the Holy Spirit. And Scott kind of closed up his books and he could tell that there was something going. He said, let's just have a conversation for a few minutes. He said, let's not be student and teacher anymore. Let's just talk. And as he started talking with them, Marlene, it was very clear, was feeling the power of the Holy Spirit in her heart. As she sat in that room, it was hot. The fans were blowing. And she said, you know what? We're talking about being free from sin and how the Holy Spirit can empower me to be bold. She said, I need that boldness. She said, and I need to be sanctified. And so Scott and her teammates gathered around her and they laid hands on her and she prayed a prayer for the infilling of the Holy Spirit right there in that day.
Amen.
And Marlene turned into a different person right before our very eyes. Her fear that she had started dissolving. She had more confidence in who God had created her to be. She had more confidence in her call to mission. And she went out to Querétaro just a few days later knowing that God had a mission for her to fulfill in that city.
In fact, the week after she had gone out and, you know, she had left Santo Domingo in our training, but she had gone to Querétaro and she was starting her ministry. But one thing we trained them in is kind of just sending a newsletter back to the people that are donating, the people that are praying for them. Her very first newsletter came back, and this is it. Now, you may not be able to read it, but I'm going to just read it. I want you to hear what she said. Amongst other things, she said, this month was the beginning of a big dream that God had placed in my heart more than 3 years ago. Reading my journal on April 1st, which was my first day in the Dominican Republic, first day of training, remember, I wrote that I was very excited, but that I was also very afraid. and that I needed to give some things over to the Lord. I was amazed at how the Lord dealt with me this month in my faith, in my trust, and in my communion or fellowship with Him. But what impacted me the most was to understand, not with my mind, but truly with my heart, entire sanctification. It's a beautiful thing to completely give our will to Christ. And it's a message that I now know I need to share. This month, I laughed, I learned, I cried, I met incredible people that taught me so much. But above all, I had unforgettable times with the Lord. And now I can say, God has strengthened me. He has removed my fear. He has cleansed my heart from things that were blocking my path. I know that I have many things to learn and that the work will not be easy in these next 2 years. But I completely trust in God and He will be faithful. Amen. Wow! Could it be that when we say, we must be bold, that if we just try to fabricate that, if we just try to manufacture enough boldness, it will never happen. Let's change our city. Let's be bold. I don't know. I'm still fearful. I still have a lot of anxiety. Could it be that the same message that we proclaim in our church is the essence of that boldness? That when the Holy Spirit fills us up, He does the work. He's the one that actually removes that fear, removes that anxiety and says, now I've got all of you and you've got all of me. How about we do this together? Marlene is experiencing that. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all experienced that same boldness?
Marlene has just finished her first year in Querétaro, Mexico. She's been there for an entire year. And when she got there, one of the very first things that she did was she started to research, is there any kind of university that's in the area? Remember when we were talking to her and evaluating her? She said, I just feel like there's such a hole in university ministry. And God is so good. You know, like He puts the right people in the right place at the right time. And the community where they found a place for housing for her team of missionaries is just a couple miles away from the university right there in Querétaro. And Marlene said, I already know what it is that I need to figure out how to do. I need to figure out how to get onto that university campus. I need to figure out how university people can start knowing about the Jesus that I know. And as she moved into that space, she and her colleague, Jocelyn from Guatemala, they started going onto the campus and they just started praying that God would kind of give them some ideas and some creativity. They kind of wanted to know who the students were. She was from Mexico, but her colleague from Guatemala didn't quite know what a Mexican student did or what their priorities were or how the school schedules worked. So they just kind of learned a little bit in the very beginning. And after a while, they said, you know what our strategy is going to be? We're just going to go. And we're going to say we're going to meet right here on this bench, kind of like in a central meeting part of the campus. And we're just going to tell people that every Tuesday at this certain time, we're going to be here. And if they just want to talk about faith, you know, some existential questions that they have, and we're going to be there and we're just going to be able to have a conversation with them. And at first she was like, I don't know if this can work at all. And they had a couple flyers that they were passing out the first time, and there were 20 people that came the very first time that they were meeting there on that park bench. And she said, I was very overwhelmed and surprised at how many people accepted our invitation to just come and have a conversation about faith. But one of the things that started to happen was she started to meet a young man named Jesus. And Jesus is a young man that is seeking for truth in his life. One thing that we find on university campuses is there are a lot of things that are pouring into our young people of what truth is. In the church, we have a place to say what truth is. And this young man was looking. He said, Marlene, I want to be a part of what you're doing because I'm reading the Christian Bible at night and I'm reading the Quran in the morning. He said, I know there's truth somewhere and I'm looking for it. And I am going to ask you to pray for Jesus. Because just like happens so often, he was there for 3 or 4 weeks and Marlene had a good contact with him for a while, but he started to get broken down in the things that he was doing. And she told us just 2 or 3 weeks ago that it's been very hard to find Jesus again. She said, I'm not giving up. I know that there's lots of people here on this campus that need to know who Jesus is, that they're seeking Jesus because Jesus is seeking them. She said, continue to pray that God opens up the doors right here on this university campus for the gospel to be preached.
Our missionary team has done some amazing things. They've seen through creative ways, lots of lives changed. And I want to take you back to the verse that we were talking about from Timothy. Do you remember? Do not be ashamed. Well, God has given us a spirit of boldness, all of these things. Several verses down, there's another very interesting passage as well. Verse 13 says, what you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Now, what is happening here? Paul is writing to his disciple, writing to Timothy, writing to this young man who has done many great things, but also he's trying to teach him. But then he's now saying, what you heard from me, what my teachings, my discipleship, well, now you need to keep that. Oh, remember to stay solid. But then also start to transmit this to other people. Start to teach others. I won't be here long. Remember, he's writing this from prison. I'm going to be gone. You must carry the torch. And he's invested in Timothy. But he knows that this is far bigger, Paul does, knows that it's far bigger than just him. He must be what we call a catalytic leader, teaching others, discipling others, so that they may know Christ, so that they may also help others to know Christ.
So we need more Marlenes. That we know that we need more workers. We need more people just like her that God has emboldened. We see God calling people every single year in the Mesoamerica region to be a Nazarene missionary. Maybe some of them are going to go to our cities. Maybe some of them are going to go across the world. We don't know what God has to do with their life, but we know that he's asked us to create a strategy to train them. We know that God has said there are so many people that are starting to respond to the call that God's placed on their life, that training Marlene in our house allows us to train about 8 to 10 a year. That's what we can do as a family. Scott often says, we love having them in our house, but we love getting rid of them as well. Because they're in our house for a month. But we have started to see how God would allow us to train 25, 35, 50 people all at the same time to go and impact our world for Christ. To have an experience just like Marlene is having. And that is the partnership that we carry with you. You all are starting to pray for that as well. You are a part of that as well. You are seeing people like Marlene that are being trained to go into the areas that are the most difficult to reach, that they are experiencing God in a new way in their own life, and they're starting to take it to other places. And that's what we do together in partnership. We're going to close this morning with a couple very specific challenges, and then we're going to invite Pastor Duane to close our service. But Scott, would you give our congregation three very specific challenges in partnership?
So we like to make this pretty simple, right? Maybe you haven't caught exactly what we do, but essentially it's a little crazy, right? Getting people from all these different countries to be sent out to impact the big city, the places where a lot of people say, oh, we're not going to go there. Ooh, that's the worst place. You know, it's pretty audacious. And you know what? Not every church has come on board with us on this. But there have been some, one of which is Centerpoint. Because you guys are already doing some pretty bold things. Praise the Lord. As we started to get, you know, start to get word of what is already happening through you all, we were like, that's awesome. Wow, this is a perfect partnership. So my challenge for you all today, for all of us really, is to do three things. Can we be bold, first of all, in praying? Man, I don't know about you, but sometimes our prayers are super, super, like, just soft. Just, in Spanish, flojo, you know? They're just kind of weak, you know? I mean, it's just like, sometimes our prayer, Lord, would you be with me? You know what? Guess what? He's already with you. You know what? I mean, we pray, Lord, would you just be with me in this moment? Yeah, he already is, you know? What if we were to say, Lord, knowing you are with me, I pray you would help me in this situation to do your will. Oh, that's a different prayer, you know? What if we would pray for our entire city? There's several ways that you can see, go on the next slide, that you can see that you can pray. I will be bold and daily pray for a deeper personal relationship with Christ. It's not bold to just say, I've kind of arrived. I'm good. You know, no, God, teach me something new every day. I will be bold and obey when God prompts me to share my faith. Oh, even close by, not just in Dominican Republic? Yeah. I will be bold and also pray for the completion of the Center of Missionary Formation, which is specific to kind of our ministry. We need bold prayer warriors to pray for that. That's going to require some faith. That's going to require that God breaks in. What about being bold in giving? Maybe God's talking to you, and you know, the best way that we can find out, are we truly following Christ? Guess what it is? Measuring our time and our finances. We can talk all we want, but I want to see, are you spending so much time on your hobby, so much time on this other stuff, and I just don't have time to ever read the Bible. I just don't have time to ever really, you know, do. Well, that shows your priorities. That's fine. What about giving? Oh, yeah, well, I could just never. Well, we all have our priorities. What if you were to be bold and start giving, tithing to your local church? Many of you do that. Maybe that's the first step for some of you. Also, right now, we're going to have a chance to have some pledges. What if you were to be bold and give to what we call the World Evangelism Fund? But that's basically, through Faith Promise, the most significant part of what you are going to be giving. That helps us to do what we do. We can't do it without your sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your sacrifice and giving. What about praying about giving to, through this church, but to the Center of Missionary Formation? We need that help as well. And the final way is, would you be bold in going? Going. Serving. Going. A lot of times we can do the first, we can do the second, but that does not require us to step out sometimes. What if we were bold by going to an unchurched neighbor or just creating a friendship? What about being bold? Maybe somebody here saying, I'm sensing that God's calling me to the mission field. Lots of excuses. I'm too old. I'm too young. I can never do that. I'm from the wrong family. I don't have the money. I don't have. What if God was calling you as a first step to be bold and sign up for the trip in August? Maybe that would start a series of other steps of obedience where God would blow your mentality and mindset open. But we must be bold. I'm going to invite Pastor Dwayne if he would come. And I would encourage you in the next few moments, seek God's face and his will and be bold when he indicates, here's how I want you to step out. Thank you.